Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. I'm pausing here as I begin this program because I think I probably could talk about wanting God's will more than your own every day at every program. And I don't want to overdo it so that after a while you say, oh, same old, I've heard this before. We all need to hear things more than once. But what I want to say to you is that I had to learn this, that I thought if I was doing good, I was doing God's will. And I could add in my own particular desires and I'd still be doing God's will. Well, you know, when we take a good goal and we add in all our personal desires, we can get ourselves off track. It's fine to say, Lord, gee, I would love it if this happened or that happened, but it's not one of my goals. My goal is always that I may glorify you, that I may bring as many people as possible to love you and to serve you, and that I might, in humility and repentance, be a vehicle through which you can work for the salvation of others. When I say vehicle, I don't mean just something to be used. A vehicle is probably not the right word. I decide to be as much of a servant and as transparent as I can be so that God may work through me. And that's the key of what I'm trying to communicate to you, that it is possible. You really can be light in the darkness. You really can, as John the Baptist said, I must decrease that he may increase. Now, how do you decrease? You decrease by saying that God's will, God's way, is more important than my own. To decrease doesn't mean to condemn yourself or to speak negatively about yourself. That's not it. You're a creature of God. You're a son or a daughter of God. You have majesty. You have power. You have incredible credentials. So what we want to do is put them to work so that they reach the completion of their goal, which is that I become transparent, that you become transparent, that when people see you, they find him. That's what we're after. So the first reading here today is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 25 through chapter 8, verse 6. Jesus is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. Do you realize that Jesus is continuously praying for you? Oh, yeah, you say, yeah, billions. No, he's praying for you. He is God. He has your face before him as well as the face of every other person who has been created on the face of this earth. He can do that. We can't. We're confined. We're narrow. He's infinite. He intercedes for you. He sees you. You are always being prayed for. And he's praying that the graces that he's pouring out, sharing himself with you, that eventually you will open your heart to receive more and more and more and become more and more his disciple. Jesus is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. It was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, higher than the heavens. He has no need, as did the high priest, to offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. He did that once for all when he offered himself on the cross. He did that once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints men subject to weakness to be high priests. But the word of the oath, which was taken after the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. God gave himself for us. The main point of what has been said is this. We have such a high priest, that is Jesus, who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle that the Lord, not man, set up. Now every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. thus the necessity for this one also to have something to offer. If then he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are those who offer gifts according to the law. They worship in a copy and a shadow of the heavenly sanctuary, as Moses was warned when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For God says, "See that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." Now he has obtained so much more excellent a ministry, as he is mediator of a better covenant enacted on better promises. Brothers and sisters, what God did for us in Christ has infinite, eternal blessings for us. Not just for a time, not just for certain people, not just for a certain era, but for all people of all times, if we put our trust in him, if we believe him, if we seek to actively become his followers. I hear people say this. I go to Mass every Sunday. Therefore, they think, that's all I need to do. Sunday is where all the graces are poured out. Sunday till the next Sunday is when we live them out. Don't end up being a Pharisee that I've spoken about this week. Don't end up being that way. I've checked off all the boxes. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Therefore, God will welcome me into his kingdom. No. Why are you doing what you're doing? Is it for self or to honor God? Motive is essential. Psalm 40, "Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will." There's the heart of it. When you go to Mass, do you say, "Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will"? Perhaps that should be your prayer every time you walk into a church. At least to be able to say, "Here am I, Lord, I want to come to do your will." Until you get to the point where you can say, "Lord, your will be done. I come to do your will." That's what we need. Those are the true disciples, and that's what we need. And only God by his life and death and resurrection has made it accessible, that grace accessible for us. But we have free will. So the choice is ours. You don't drift, as I've said so often, you don't drift into heaven. You choose it. You choose him. And then you live your life in accord with that choice. And God will abundantly bless. You'll see. We're going to spend heaven, do you know? Part of it, at least, I think, maybe, talking about how wonderful God was to us and what he did for us when we did the simple things he asked. When instead of I'm taking my life in my own hands and I'm going to do what I want, it's to say, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me life. Let my life now show forth your glory. May my life accomplish the purpose for which you created me." Pray that prayer every day. Something similar to that every day. And you'll see how God takes you at your word. You'll never be happier, I guarantee it. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 7 to 12. Jesus withdrew toward the sea with his disciples. A large number of people followed him from Galilee and from Judea. Hearing what he was doing, a large number of people came to him also from Jerusalem, from Idumea, from beyond the Jordan, and from the neighborhood of Tyre and Sidon. So people are coming from everywhere, even though Jesus is withdrawing toward the sea with his disciples. He wanted some time with them, and he wanted some time with the Father. So he withdraws, but everybody follows him. What does he do? "Get out of here, I need my sleep." Well, no, he doesn't do that. So he told his disciples, when he saw this crowd, he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd so that they would not crush him. He cured many, and as a result, those who had diseases were pressing upon him to touch him. And whenever clean spirits saw him, they would fall down before him and shout, "You are the Son of God." And he warned them sternly not to make him known. Do you see, that's another example right there of what I was talking about, I think, last week on the program, that Jesus did not want them to identify him because they were evil. And if he identified them, if the evil spirits identified him accurately and the people heard those words, they would be inclined to follow the one saying that. If they couldn't get close to Jesus, they'd be the ones following. And actually, those were the voices of evil spirits. They were declaring the truth. But the end result, if you paid attention to it and followed him, would lead you to disaster. And Jesus knew it. He warned them sternly not to make him known. He says that to the unclean spirits because he doesn't want even truth coming from a corrupted source. We need to know that to be able to discern good from evil. Things can sound good, but what's the source? This is a man of a lot of power and a lot of money is what the world would say. Therefore, I'll pay attention to him. Don't do that. He may say certain words that are true, but get to know the person and you'll see whether the foundation is good or evil. It's called the gift of discernment. And a Christian is given that gift by baptism. That gift is latent in you. You have to learn how to use it, but it's there that you might discern good from evil and right from wrong. I have a CD I did some time ago entitled Be Strong in the Lord. Be Strong in the Lord, which is a CD that takes apart Ephesians chapter 6, which is putting on the armor of God, learning how to fight the father of lies, learning how to see through and get the truth. And so you might be interested in that CD, which you can purchase again by going to our website, renewalministries.net, and clicking on bookstore. Renewalministries.net, click on bookstore, and ask for the CD, Be Strong in the Lord. It's a teaching on Ephesians chapter 6, the end of Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with, I think, around verse 25, where Paul speaks, and I've spoken about this before on the program, where Paul speaks about putting on the armor of God. I'm saying more about these resources that I have, not because I want to sell them, although if it gets them in your hands, yes, I want to sell them. But I am trying to show you the tools that are there. As you listen to these programs, you'll say, well, I'm weak in this or I'm weak in that. And don't get into, well, I'm no good because I have this fault or this sin working in my life. Don't do that. Learn how to get rid of the sin by repentance and then learn how, as St. Paul teaches us, how to put on the armor of God that we might be, as Paul says, strong in the Lord. And then we can be that refuge, that help for other people who go through the same battles. Brothers and sisters, the Lord so loves us, and he has so much available to us if we would take advantage. So I'm pointing you to some resources. Take a look at our website, renewalministries.net. See what else is there. We'll refer you to yet other sources that are available from different authors. But take a look at what we have. And really, in this first month of the new year, take stock of where you are and ask God for what you need. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, to obtain my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That is 1-800-282-4789. Faith More Precious Than Gold. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net, and then click on free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold.